ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts.
Jerry, I have to ask you about the cheerleader controversy in the ESPN article. I know there's not a lot you can say because of the non-disclosure agreement, but why did you choose to settle?
Well, first of all, the cheerleaders are an iconic, a vital part of what our organization is, the Dallas Cowboys. And so we took these allegations very seriously. We immediately began a look-see, an investigation into the situation. I can assure you that had we found that it need be, there would have been firings or there would have been suspicion. As it turns out, in the best interest of our cheerleaders, in the best interest of the organization, in the best interest of our fans, what we decided to do was show the cheerleaders how seriously we took these allegations. And we wanted them to know that we were real serious, and so the settlement was the way to go.
That was Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones on Friday, telling NBC DFW about a secret his organization had protected for 6 years. That one of their most valued executives had been accused of spying on several of the team's own cheerleaders in a locker room. And that Jones wrote a $2.4 million check to try and make it all go away. Today, Don Van Natta walks us through his investigation into America's team, which uncovered both that secret and another related, wildly explosive allegation. And he explains why this story is only just beginning. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, February 28th. This is ESPN Daily. Don Van Natta, you are one of the best investigative reporters. And with some of your stories, I also understand that you don't always find them. They sometimes find you. So where did this one start for you?
Pablo, this story found me. I received a tip in late August of last year from a former Cowboys executive about an allegation that was kind of hard to believe, involving a man named Richard Dalrymple, who is a longtime fixer and confidant of Jerry Jones and his family. He's probably the most talented public relations person in American sports. He's been with the Cowboys for 32 years, and the allegation was that he was inside the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders locker room, spying on the cheerleaders, and a quiet settlement was struck way back in 2016. And so I began that reporting journey after getting that tip.
Yeah, I mean, Rich Dalrymple, Don, for those who aren't in our business, is somebody that a lot of us have known over the years, right? I mean, he's kind of like Jerry's body man. You called him a fixer. He's also pretty visible. I mean, I saw him once in an episode of Entourage. He's the guy, when I interviewed Jerry a million years ago for Sports Illustrated, would lean in to Jerry's ear and tell him my name as if Jerry had always known it. I mean, he's this guy who's always been around.
Very, very close to Jerry Jones, who's always been at Jerry Jones's elbow since way back in 1990 when he was hired. You know, he started at the University of Miami working with Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson recommended that Rich Dalrymple be hired by Jerry Jones in the summer of 1990. Dalrymple is somebody who is extremely talented, very smart, and very adept at managing the Jones family, and somebody who is very, very important to Jerry Jones and his family.
All of which makes the specific accusations that you outline here that much more staggering, Don, because again, this is the senior vice president for public relations and communications. What were the accusations in specific here against Rich Dalrymple and the Cowboys?
Well, the first allegation, the most startling allegation perhaps, is that Richard Dalrymple back in 2015 used a security key card to get access to the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders locker room while they were inside, while they were changing at an event at AT&T Stadium attended by about 2,000 people. And one of the cheerleaders alleged that she clearly saw Dalrymple standing behind a partial wall in that locker room with his black iPhone extended toward them while they were changing their clothes. And she claims, and the other cheerleaders back her up, that Dalrymple was in that room for several minutes. She yelled at him, ran toward him, "What are you doing here?" Recognized the man as Richard Dalrymple, who then fled the scene. And this event occurred, as I said, September 2nd, 2015 at AT&T Stadium.
And just to set the scene even more clearly, Don, this event with thousands of people there, what was it?
This is the annual kickoff luncheon at AT&T Stadium. It's a chance for the Cowboys to raise money for charity. There's banquet tables on the field, end zone to end zone. Nearly 2,000 people were in attendance, including the Jones family. People like Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin were also there. And there were four cheerleaders clad in their unmistakable blue and white uniforms standing on either side of the podium as speeches were given. And then when that part of the ceremony was done, that's when they retreated to their locker room around 12 noon to change into their regular clothes because they were also going to be guests at this luncheon.
So this room in which that sort of transition happens, Don, how would you describe like just the layout of it?
The cheerleaders' dressing room usually has two security guards stationed outside of it. On this day, there was only one. There was an unguarded door. It was actually the back door of the dressing room in which Rich Dalrymple used a security key card to gain access to that dressing room. Once you walk in there, there is a sort of small nook that's separated from the dressing room by a partial wall. The cheerleaders heard that door open and they yelled, "We're in here." And then they heard the door quickly close. They assumed that they were alone. Several minutes later, one of the cheerleaders noticed a man crouched down with an iPhone held horizontally pointed toward them while they were in a state of undress. The cheerleader yelled, "Hey, what are you doing here?" and ran toward the man and noticed him as Rich Dalrymple, who she then said ran out of the room.
So after they see allegedly Rich Dalrymple with his phone, Don, what did these women do next?
They immediately reported what had happened to a security guard. And I had three people tell me that the security guard wanted to report the incident to the Arlington Police Department. And, you know, under Texas law, it could be a misdemeanor to secretly observe someone without their consent, and even a felony to take a photo or video of an intimate area of another person without their consent. However, the police were not called. It was a chaotic situation. It delayed the four cheerleaders' arrival to the luncheon by nearly 30 minutes. And when they show up there late, Kelly Finglass, the cheerleaders' longtime director, was sitting at a round table with other people. There's four empty chairs for the cheerleaders sitting there. And Kelly Finglass asked them, "What took so long?" And we were told by sources that the cheerleaders couldn't answer the question truthfully in that setting. They just simply told her they had been delayed. It wasn't until after the luncheon that the cheerleaders met with Finglass, who suggested that the women report the incident to the Cowboys Human Resources Department.
And what did these four cheerleaders want, Don, in that moment?
They wanted Dalrymple punished. They felt that Dalrymple should be fired. They were extremely upset by what happened, and they wanted action, and they wanted action fast. And the Cowboys investigation started later that day.
All right, Don, after the break, we get into the investigation that followed.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Don, the cheerleaders have made these accusations against Rich Dalrymple internally, and the Cowboys, they have begun an investigation into the incident later that same day that all of this happened. So, what did that investigation entail?
Well, later that day, human resources officials took statements by phone from the four cheerleaders, as well as the security guard who was standing outside the dressing room and two other employees who might have been witnesses. Jason Cohen, who is the Cowboys' longtime general counsel, immediately confiscated Dalrymple's iPhone issued by the Cowboys. Cohen also conducted the first of multiple interviews with Dalrymple, who acknowledged using his security key card to enter what he thought was an empty locker room, but he denied using his phone to collect any images of the women.
So how long did all of this take, Don, the investigation? How involved were the women as all of this was unfolding?
Well, the cheerleaders were upset about the fact that they did not get to sit down with team officials to formally make a complaint about what happened until 8 days after the incident. They met in a conference room at Valley Ranch, which was then the team's headquarters, with the chief of HR and Jason Cohen, the Cowboys' general counsel. They met individually, and I have sources telling me that they were not pleased that it took that long, nor were they pleased that they felt that in that meeting, Jason Cohen, from his preliminary investigation that he had done, had already made up his mind that Dalrymple was innocent here, because he insisted that he'd entered their locked dressing room only to use the bathroom and did not expect to find them there.
And when the four cheerleaders hear that as the alibi, as the excuse, what do they think in response?
Well, they were incredulous. One of the cheerleaders, according to notes that I obtained of one of those sessions, questioned why Dalrymple would choose to use the cheerleaders' bathroom with a security key card when, as she put it, a men's restroom was only 20 feet away.
And what was Rich Dalrymple's response to the investigation, Don?
Well, Cohen explained to the cheerleader that Dalrymple understands he was this close to being fired and still will be fired if anything even remotely like this comes to light. Now, this is according to the notes that were taken and provided to me of that meeting with that cheerleader and Cohen and HR. Dalrymple never denied being in the locker room, Cohen told his cheerleader. And Cohen said, could he have lied to me? Of course. But I said to him point blank, is this the phone you had yesterday? And he said, yes. The HR chief also told the women there was no evidence of anything that was sent out, no evidence of photographs. And the Cowboys, to be fair, did hire a forensics firm to make sure that no images had been erased from that work-issued phone. And that firm, I'm told, also found no evidence of anything being erased.
So all of this exonerated the work phone, but the cheerleaders clearly had questions about whether there was still another phone somewhere.
Yes, the cheerleader raised that possibility and said, could he have a personal phone? Many people have a personal phone in addition to a work phone. The Cowboys took Dalrymple's word for that. He insisted he did not have a personal phone, and they believed him. And, you know, mostly the women were just angry. They just felt that team officials had believed Dalrymple had done nothing wrong before they were formally interviewed 8 days after the incident. And one of the quotes that was given to me by a source with knowledge of the allegations is this. It was a he said, she said, and the team chose to believe Dalrymple's side of things, but four women swore this happened.
So this could have ended there, Don. The Cowboys clearly wanted this to end there, but where did the women go from here?
Well, the cheerleaders were upset. A source told me they felt certain the team wasn't going to do anything about this. They were not going to punish Dalrymple. And as one source told me, they were told to just keep cheering, and they kept seeing Dalrymple around at games and events. So they were very frustrated and angry and felt the team was ignoring what they had told them. So they went out and hired several lawyers, including a Fort Worth attorney by the name of Kelly Pools, to represent them in a possible lawsuit against the team. And one of the first things that Pools did is he sent certified letters to top Cowboys executives, including Jerry Jones, demanding that all evidence be preserved, including all the data on Dalrymple's cell phones, images from security cameras, and records from Dalrymple's security key card that would show all the times he had gained access to the cheerleaders' locked dressing room.
And so as these new attorneys begin to dig in on their own and they start investigating all of the people involved in this case, what did they discover?
Well, they found a very odd post on a Facebook page by a Shreveport, Louisiana school teacher who also happens to be a lifelong Cowboys fan named Randy Horton. And Randy Horton posted on a TV station's page that he had seen something very strange while watching a live video feed from the Cowboys draft war room on April 30th, 2015. Now, that's 4 months before this alleged cheerleaders' voyeurism incident. The moment happened as team officials were celebrating their first round selection of Byron Jones, the cornerback from the University of Connecticut. Horton saw what he felt was Rich Dalrymple live on this live stream using his iPhone to take upskirt photographs of Charlotte Jones Anderson, who's a senior executive vice president of the Cowboys and also Jerry Jones's daughter. And this is what Horton wrote on Facebook. He said, "In case you haven't been made aware already, that guy Rich Dalrymple, who was sitting in the back corner of the war room last night, on several occasions reached over and took upskirt pictures with his phone during the live stream. My wife and I watched in amazement. It happened when you guys stood up celebrating when you learned that you'd be able to pick up the Jones kid. I believe Carolina was on the clock at the time. Go check it out." Now, I had a team source tell me that Charlotte Jones never saw Horton's post, but still, this was a breakthrough for the legal team representing the cheerleaders because they felt this was potentially a pattern of bad behavior by Dalrymple.
Don, I just need a second to process all of this, right? Because this sounds like it's an extremely conspicuous thing to do. What is being alleged here, right? It's the owner's daughter. It's on a live stream that's being broadcast across the planet to huge Cowboys fans who clearly take the time to watch war room videos during the draft. I mean, what did he say specifically that he saw there?
You're absolutely right, Pablo. It's astonishing, if true, that Richard Dalrymple would choose to do something like this just several feet away from where Jerry Jones is sitting. But Horton told me in an interview, he said, "I'll never forget what I saw. The first time Dalrymple reached out from a sitting position behind Charlotte Jones, and she's standing with her back to him, and he did it once." He claims Dalrymple looked at the screen, touched the screen, and then did it again. Then he said there a second time, several minutes later, Dalrymple sitting in a chair at the corner of the conference room table on the left, and he held his phone beneath the corner of the table with the camera side facing up to where Charlotte Jones was standing, and did it again. This is what Horton told me. "I have no doubt in my mind of what it was he was doing. It was obvious."
And is there any evidence, Don, of the events as Horton described them?
Well, Horton doesn't have the evidence. He said he tried to capture the images on his laptop and failed. He posted a message of what he'd seen on the Facebook page, also for a local TV station in Shreveport, as something one of your reporters might want to look into. It wasn't just one person. Turns out it's two. Two people wrote on Facebook that they had seen the same thing that Horton had seen.
And what do the Cowboys, what does the team say in response to this?
One of the things that surprised me in the reporting of this is I learned that the Cowboys did know about this back in May of 2015, just several weeks after this occurred. HR for the Cowboys received a tip from somebody alleging that Dalrymple did this, and a team source said HR watched the live stream video and found no wrongdoing by Dalrymple.
And so the video in question here, does anyone have that?
Well, the team declines to say if they have it. Jim Wilkinson, who is a crisis communications consultant hired by the Cowboys, said to me, the most basic common sense tells you that if Jerry Jones believed in any way that someone had even remotely done something like that to any members of his family, that person would have been fired immediately.
And throughout this time, Don, like, Rich Dalrymple obviously remained very important to the Cowboys, even as all of this chaos and all of these accusations were swirling, some of which are, again, just unfathomable. What was his job like at that point? What was he doing that was considered to be that important?
Well, one of the things he was doing while these allegations occurred was lobbying quietly for Jerry Jones to get into the Hall of Fame. The agreement is signed in June of 2016, and just 2 months later, Jerry Jones is announced as a finalist for the Hall of Fame, and it becomes public that he's going to the Hall of Fame in January of 2017.
Okay, we're all aware by now that on Saturday, Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
The one-time insurance salesman and oil and gas prospector became the biggest power broker among NFL owners.
Dalrymple was quietly calling media members, talking with them, basically whipping votes for Jerry Jones to get into the Hall of Fame while all these allegations were hanging over him.
So, Don, I obviously have many follow-up questions. So let's get into the response to the accusations and more of your reporting after this break.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Don, you just told me about one of the most insane allegations that I think I've ever heard. Because Rich Dalrymple, as you've established, is considered a member of Jerry Jones' own family. He's worked for that team for over 3 decades. He's the vice president of communications and public relations. And what you have said is that he was allegedly seen on the live stream of the Cowboys war room during the NFL draft. A live stream, by the way, that was broadcast on the Cowboys' own website, taking a surreptitious upskirt video of Jerry Jones' own daughter, the owner of the Cowboys' daughter, his boss's daughter, his seemingly own family member, to use that figurative term. What did Rich Dalrymple have to say about that specific accusation?
Well, he said it was absolutely false. I never got a chance to interview Rich Dalrymple for this story, but he did put out a statement. And his statement was, people who know me, coworkers, the media, and colleagues know who I am and what I'm about. I understand the very serious nature of these claims and do not take them lightly. The accusations are, however, false. One was accidental, and he's referring there to the cheerleader's dressing room allegation, and the other, he says, simply did not happen. Everything that was alleged was thoroughly investigated years ago, Dalrymple says, and I cooperated fully.
And what about the Cowboys, Don? What did they say about this?
Well, none of the Cowboys executives, including Jerry Jones, would talk to me for this story. But Jim Wilkinson, the Cowboys communications consultant, had this to say. He said the organization took these allegations extremely seriously and moved immediately to thoroughly investigate this matter. The investigation was handled consistent with best legal and HR practices, and the investigation found no evidence of wrongdoing. Now, this was the statement given to me after working on the story for months and going to the team. The no evidence of wrongdoing is a curious phrase to use, however, because there was some wrongdoing here. Certainly, Rich Dalrymple used a security key card to gain access to the cheerleaders' locker room, something that was frowned upon by his bosses because the Cowboys later put a disciplinary letter in Rich Dalrymple's personnel file.
Yeah, so this disciplinary letter, Don, tell me about that. What did that signify? When did that come about?
Well, the timing is really important here. The Cowboys issued the disciplinary letter to Dalrymple on October 19th, 2015. So that's about 6 weeks after the alleged incident in the cheerleaders' dressing room. The letter is issued not that long after Dalrymple hires his own lawyer, a Dallas attorney by the name of George Parker. Now, George Parker gave me a statement saying that if Dalrymple had been fired, he would have very likely sued the Cowboys for wrongful termination. The same time as that disciplinary letter is put in Dalrymple's file, the team also revoked Dalrymple's access to the cheerleaders' locker room with that security key card. They also made sweeping security changes around the cheerleaders' locker room. They reconfigured security key card access to the locker room for all staff. They added cameras. They put up new signs on the door whenever the cheerleaders were inside for no entry. They had new communications set up to alert security staff when the locker rooms were in use. And I had a source tell me they also ensured the cheerleaders were aware of HR and legal resources, employee assistance programs, as well as an anonymous NFL hotline.
So all the talk of this new security apparatus that the Cowboys are conspicuously setting up in the aftermath of this, Don, it raises the question of what security cameras existed before, when it actually happened at the time.
So there are security cameras outside the cheerleaders' locker room, and they're very important if you're doing a thorough investigation to establish precisely how long Dalrymple is in the dressing room. He claims he was only in there a matter of seconds when he realized the cheerleaders were there and he quickly left. But he used a security key card to gain access to that locked dressing room. That's timestamped to the second of when he entered. When he left, it's not recorded, but there's a camera outside the dressing room that's also timestamped and gives you a precise number of minutes or seconds that Dalrymple is there. Remember, the cheerleader claimed that she heard the door open and then shut and didn't see Dalrymple for several minutes. So that evidence should establish precisely how long to the second that Dalrymple was in the dressing room. I asked for that evidence from the Cowboys, and I believe they have it, and they did not provide it to me.
So as for the aftermath here of this investigation, what happened to Rich Dalrymple as his employment was concerned?
Well, Rich Dalrymple continued working for the Cowboys in exactly the same role as the executive vice president for communications and public relations for nearly 6 years after the settlement. It wasn't until February 2nd of this year that he told the Dallas Morning News of his immediate retirement. This is after 32 years working for the team. Dalrymple thanked the team and the Jones family. But what was striking, Pablo, is no one on behalf of the team, including Jerry Jones, acknowledged Dalrymple's departure. Nobody said anything about his many years of service. His retirement was not even mentioned on the Cowboys' website.
Now, Don, this guy, again, who's worked for the team for 32 years, who was a family member, and the team says that none of the stuff that we've described actually happened in the way that it has been alleged. They say nothing by way of thanks towards their former employee who they loved, allegedly.
Nothing. And that raises the question whether Dalrymple's departure had something to do with the fact that we were investigating these allegations. Now, several weeks after we began interviewing people about the alleged incidents is when Dalrymple did announce his retirement. And it was only a few days after we began contacting attorneys involved in the settlement. And yet Dalrymple said this had nothing to do with my retirement from a long and fulfilling career. And I was only contacted about this story after I had retired. He's right about that. It was 5 days after he retired that I first reached out to him. But I should say, Pablo, that in November, I was contacted by Jim Wilkinson, the crisis communications person working for the Cowboys, who had heard I was reaching out to former cheerleaders and other former employees and offered himself up to answer any questions I had. I wasn't ready to ask him the questions then. So I'm pretty confident the Cowboys knew that we were doing this story. And I believe Dalrymple knew it as well as early as November.
In fact, it was his job to be on top of what was being reported about the Cowboys by definition.
That's right. Absolutely.
So you had mentioned a settlement just then, Don. What were the cheerleaders offered exactly?
Well, you know, initially after the incident, the four cheerleaders were presented with a pretty difficult choice by their attorneys. They could either go public at a news conference outside AT&T Stadium and describe what had happened, or they could settle quietly with the team for a sum of money and never speak about the allegations. A former cheerleader told me it wasn't much of a choice. Neither option was good. And for months, there was an impasse between the cheerleaders' lawyers and the lawyers for the Cowboys. And the women kept cheering at events. They were on the sidelines of every game in the 2015 season. They continued to see Dalrymple on the sideline as well, which upset them and bothered them. And nothing really happened until the spring of the following year in 2016.
Yeah, what ultimately did push the team to agree to a settlement, Don? Because again, on the record, they've denied these accusations.
Well, it wasn't until April of 2016 that Randy Horton, that school teacher from Shreveport, Louisiana, was visited by one of the cheerleaders' attorneys, actually at a casino in Shreveport, Louisiana. They had a meeting, and Horton swore in a 3-page affidavit that he had seen the upskirt video. So with that evidence, the cheerleaders' lawyers returned to Dallas and met with the Cowboys' legal team and described that affidavit. And within weeks, a settlement non-disclosure agreement is drawn up that bound the women and the team executives to secrecy.
And that secrecy, that NDA, that includes everything that we've talked about, including the Charlotte Jones-Anderson upskirt accusation.
Yeah, one of the really striking things about that agreement that was signed by the four cheerleaders and their spouses and the lawyers in May of 2016 is there's a line in there that says there can be no discussion by the cheerleaders of, quote, the incident regarding Charlotte Jones Anderson, close quote. But strikingly, Pablo, it doesn't say the alleged incident. It doesn't say the incident that was investigated and debunked by the live stream video. It says the incident regarding Charlotte Jones Anderson as if it absolutely did happen. That's the first I learned of it when I did get a copy of the settlement and began reporting that aspect of these allegations against Dalrymple. And yet a team source denied to me that Horton's affidavit actually did spur the settlement.
And so just to be very clear about this, Don, by definition, the job of an attorney is to obsess over every single word. That does not seem to you, at least as a reporter, to be like a random oversight.
No, it seemed really conspicuous that when I saw that language again, Pablo, I didn't know what it was. I just knew that something involving Charlotte Jones Anderson needed to be investigated. And that affidavit that's signed by this school teacher and lifelong Cowboys fan that turns the case around and inspires the Cowboys to settle.
Yeah, so this settlement, how does that break down financially? What did the four cheerleaders receive?
Well, the total settlement was for $2.4 million. Each of the cheerleaders received nearly $400,000.
And again, I understand that there are strings attached there. There's an NDA. They can't speak about this in public. Is that the end of the public discussion of the story then, Don? Is it just as simple as they can't speak about this in a way that we can never observe?
There's very strict language in the settlement agreement that gives the cheerleaders and their spouses instructions on how to respond if they're ever asked about the voyeurism allegations. They may only respond with no comment. Now, there's one exception to that, Pablo, that's very important. The cheerleaders can speak publicly about their allegations and what occurred here if they're subpoenaed by federal, state, or local regulatory authorities or governmental agencies. And it just so turns out that there is a committee on Capitol Hill, a House committee that's been investigating the Dan Snyder allegations. They're aware of this story, and I'm told they may actually subpoena these four women to testify on the Hill.
And for those who aren't quite so familiar, Don, with the emerging parallels here between the Washington football team, now the Commanders, and the Dallas Cowboys, why would these four Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders be summoned to Capitol Hill in an investigation into Dan Snyder?
Well, the House committee is interested in sexual misconduct, and there have been many allegations made by former employees of the now Washington Commanders about sexual misconduct, sexual harassment. Many of them are cheerleaders, and so that House committee would be interested, presumably, in similar allegations coming from the Dallas Cowboys. They're also, I know, interested in the use of non-disclosure agreements by NFL teams and even the NFL to hide wrongdoing. So my understanding is that they are looking very closely at our story and at these allegations. And I'm told by the lawyers for the cheerleaders that if, in fact, the committee does subpoena them, they would willingly go to the Hill and testify.
So, Don, what is next for you as a reporter as this story is concerned and as this team, the Dallas Cowboys, is concerned? What happens next?
Well, we're continuing to look at the Cowboys. What happens in a story like this, Pablo, is you shake the tree and various tips fall into your lap. And we've had a few of them since the story was published. And so I'm busy at work, and we'll continue to look closely at the team and its culture, and stay tuned.
So, in other words, this story is not over.
I don't believe it will be. No, I think there's much more work we have to do.
Don Van Natta, as always, thank you for continuing to report a story like this.
Thank you, Pablo.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.